The Big Scary Show is sponsored in part by the following: Gantom Lighting and Controls, GANTOM, Gantom.com, and Dark Imaginings, Web Design, Changing Portraits, and More, DarkImaginings.com.
For the deepest, darkest crypts, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious, it's time for a Big Scary Show.
Creative, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hello, this is Renee Ebert from Ghost House of Haunting, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Allie Mae from Wellstown Haunted House in Brewing, Ohio, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hello, hello, hello! Hey, hi, this is Irony Singleton. That was one person. I said all those hellos and highs. Irony Singleton from The Walking Dead, a.k.a. T-Dog, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show. I did that too. Sound effects, yeah.
Hi, this is Boom Mike Guy, and this is The Big Scary Show.
My name is James Carr from The Ascension. I play James Mackey in the film, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, I'm Michael Chenoa from The Walking Dead. You may remember me from my dumpster glory. And right now, you are listening to a Big Scary Show.
You're listening to the Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
In a world full of conspiracies, the Big Scary Show becomes your source of truth. In episode 131, breaks everything open. Badger emerges from the hollow earth and gives you the deadline news. Storm looks into the Illuminati's control of society, and as they choose what's the next big thing in his rant on a Haunt Minute. Meat Hook Jim brings you tips and tricks and chemtrails and amazement. The Haunstrumentalist Jerry Vane brings you the most scariest, creepiest music across the flat earth. We even have Veister with us, talking about Nosferatu. Can he prove that Nick Cage and Jay-Z are time-traveling vampires, or will he just talk about the movie? Then, in a deep investigation roundtable of terror, our co-hosts get together with the crew from Ghost House of Haunting, including Renee, Allie Mae, and David. Is a government trying to spy on your haunt by using independent film and drones? We'll get to the bottom of it, talking with them and this amazing film that is being filmed live at a haunted attraction. Is yours next? We also fire up the Large Hadron Collider to teleport you. Interviews from stars from The Walking Dead, a gruesome giveaway, and so much more fun, entertainment, and games. So get your government-issued clone, gather around your computer or podcasting device, and prepare yourself to have every conspiracy broken open in Big Scary Show, episode 131.
The Midwest Haunters Convention is back June 9th through 11th at the Greater Columbus Convention Center in Columbus, Ohio. MHC is the largest Halloween show of its kind in the U.S., dedicated to all haunters, actors, and enthusiasts. Open to the public, MHC features a trade show, loads of education. The two-day bus tour is back. Yes, you heard that right. The two-day bus tour is back, and loads of entertainment over the weekend. If you need more information, go to www.MidwestHauntersConvention.com today. Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
Hello, folks. Drew Badger with Deadline News for episode 131, and I always hate doing this, but I have a pair of sad news stories from a pair of our own. The Big Scary Show is sorry to report the loss of a pair of haunters. Last week, a fellow haunter lost her life in a car accident. Her name was Kaylee Priskew. I hope I didn't butcher that. And she was an actor at Creepy World in St. Louis. Unfortunately, I have no other details about this. Also, Trey Manning from Whitehall, Ohio, and an actor at the Scaratorium in Columbus, passed away last weekend, possibly from a blood clot. He'd been hospitalized for some time prior to his death. The Big Scary Show would like to extend its deepest condolences to the family and friends of Kaylee and Trey, and offers up this moment of silence. On a lighter note, we have a little bit of news from Frightmare Farms Haunted Attraction in Fulton, New York. If you missed last year's Scream Break, here is your chance to get a taste of fear throughout the year. Once again, Frightmare Farms presents Summer Scream 2017, one night only on June 17th from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m., and there are limited tickets available. This event is a special off-season event. It is a dark event with very limited lighting. Each group will receive one glow stick to help guide them through the estate. Only one attraction is open for this special Scream event. Get your information and tickets at FrightmareFarms.net. We have a little bit of news from The Walking Dead, and I must warn you, there are potential spoilers in this account. So if you're following and don't know what's going on, Storm, you might want to fast forward about 90 seconds. You have been warned. The Walking Dead Season 8 has promoted three actors to series regular status. Variety has confirmed Stephen Ogg, Caitlin Nacon, and Pollyanna McIntosh will all have expanded roles when the AMC Zombie Apocalypse series returns this fall. Ogg plays Simon, the right-hand man to Negan. Nacon is Enid, a teenage resident of Alexandria who has shown a connection to Carl, and McIntosh plays one of the newest characters of the show, Jadis, leader of the Junkyard Scavengers. Season 7 of the series saw the departure of several main cast members, including Steven Yeun and Michael Kudlitz, whose characters, Glenn and Abraham, were killed in the season opener. Sonequa Martin-Green, who played Sasha, died in the series finale. She will next star in the CBS All-Access series Star Trek Discovery. Season 8 will pick up amidst the war between Rick's Alliance and the Saviors. Series showrunner Scott Gimple previously said that the season will see Rick and company battling to preserve the very fragile civilization they have established. Quote, "It's essentially for the whole world as far as their experience," Gimple told Variety when the season concluded. "It isn't just their little corner, it's the kingdom and the hilltop too. The governor just wanted them dead. Negan would be happy if everyone was alive and well and working for him. There's a very basic political idea at play here. They want to live in a fair world instead of just having it be Negan's. To that end, the idea feels to me like the beginning of civilization is at stake. This new civilization they want to build, rather than live this strange half-life serving a despot. And we just want to mention TV Line first reported this news. And now, back to the show. We have some more haunted attraction news from the Dark Hour Haunted Attraction in Plano, Texas. They say the zombie apocalypse will never happen. Chemicals and science alone cannot blend virus and DNA to turn the living and the dead into dragging undead flesh cravers. The witches of Coven Manor have added magic into the mix in order to bring about the zombie virus. In our most modern show, the infected swarm in packs and attack while you maneuver through the most hostile environment possible. From fresh dead to rotten, the biters moan and wail, reaching, striving towards the lifeblood that fills your veins and the warmth that covers your skin. Their skin is quickly rotting, falling from them in slick, pulpy masses to litter the ground and be eaten by those no longer able to stand, still propelling themselves with their arms to seek your trembling legs and feet. The Witch of Contagion, Vera Blight, is bringing the undead to Dark Hour, and it is intense. The zombie apocalypse may never happen, but this is the closest you will ever get. Dark Hour Haunted House presents Spring Fever, coming back to Dark Hour May 12th through the 13th and 19th and 20th of 2017. Get more tickets and info at darkhourhauntedhouse.com. We have some more haunted attraction news from the Haunted Hydro in Fremont, Ohio. Come join us for the very first ever Foam and Flashlight Nights for our halfway to Halloween celebration on Friday, May 12th and Saturday, May 13th. From 8 p.m. to midnight, we will open the floodgates for general admission of just $10. We'll put you through the Haunted Hydro in group sizes depending on Crazy Bob's mood, a.k.a. the ghost host in charge at the front door. You will then have to navigate through the dark, dim, and extremely eerie spaces through our 1911 hydroelectric power plant filled with monsters, some with flashlights who will provide what little light you need to get through, if they're feeling nice, until you reach the foam. Then you are completely immersed and on your own. There are some rules, however. Do not run. We suggest you stay together. It will be a little dark. Be prepared to be engulfed in foam at some point. You will get a bit damp, and they are not responsible for clothes or valuables. Or you can be a chicken and escape the haunt without any foam with our chicken route, but trust us, that decision may be worse than the foam. So, see you soon, my friends, for a one-of-a-kind time with our Foam and Flashlights event, May 12th and 13th, and remember, never, ever come alone. Tickets are available for purchase online at thehauntedhydro.com. We have a little more halfway to Halloween news from the Houston Halfway to Halloween Bash in Houston, Texas. Zombies, superheroes, cosplayers, and monsters unite. One of the biggest Halloween parties of the year is coming in May. Hundreds of creatures will take over Edo's hottest new venue, Chapman and Kirby, for the 7th annual Halfway to Halloween Bash on Saturday, May 13th. Chapman and Kirby is located just two blocks east of the George Bush Convention Center, walking distance for Comic Palooza visitors who want to join the party. This is an adults-only event which also serves as a fundraiser for the Houston Zombie Walk's Too Ghoul for School Scholarship Fund. Members of Curios by Cirque du Soleil will be making a special appearance. There will also be drink specials, a costume contest with a $500 first-placed cash prize, a sexy fashion show, raffle drawings every hour, and so much more. We hope to see you there. Special thanks to our sponsors Comic Palooza, Creepy Hollow Haunted House, Top Dog Halloween Madness, Virus Vodka, Bud Light, and Curios by Cirque du Soleil. Get more information at their Facebook page, facebook.com/The Houston Zombie Walk. And finally, we have a even more Halfway to Halloween news, courtesy of the Halfway to Halloween Boolesque Spooktacular in Detroit, Michigan. Halloween is coming back to Detroit. On Friday, May 12th, at Detroit's Tangent Gallery, comes the return of Halfway to Halloween Monster Boolesque Spooktacular 2. The tricks and treats include a Halloween burlesque variety show starring Luscious Lamone, Bootsy LaFontaine, Sophia Syntax, Magenta Demure, and Mabel Syrup. A multiple-room haunted house inside, created and hosted by the House of Fear of Hazel Park. The first entry is included. Costume contest for bad DIY and crowd fave with cash and boozy prizes. Seriously, show them your fabulous worst. An exhibition of Halloween art from local and out-of-state artists. A film festival of local and international independent short horror films. A room full of creepy merchants selling strange and odd merchandise. Delicious hot vegetarian food and dessert served on site by Monster Foods. Also, Halloween lounge music, tarot readings, booze specials, cheap candy, UV decor, and haunted hijinks galore. Admission is only $10 with costume and $15 without. Seriously, just put something on. Admission includes the merchants, exhibition, film fest, variety shows, contests, etc., and one free ticket to enter the haunted house. $5 each additional entry. And this event is for those 18 and over only. It's happening at Tangent Gallery at the Hastings Street Ballroom, 715 East Milwaukee in Detroit. Get more information at Halfway, the number 2, HalloweenDetroit.com, or their Facebook page, facebook.com/groups/Halfway, the number 2, Halloween, Detroit. That sounds like a party.
Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com, and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
It was intense.
When the apocalypse comes.
When I was running, I completely dodged an entire crowd of nine.
Will you survive?
You gotta act quickly.
Z-Tag brings the undead to life.
If you take your time, it's gonna be too late.
In a real-world challenge.
Next thing you know, you turn around, there's zombies.
Of speed, agility, and survival.
This is an awesome birthday.
It's zombies against humans.
Buildings, it was mazes. They're jumping out of everywhere.
Wear your Z-Tag badge with its flashing LEDs and get into action.
It really felt like zombies were coming at you at the end when you see the red tags everywhere.
Hunt or be hunted. Take your pick.
It was a game you had to find.
Red light for zombies and green light for humans.
When you're like walking in and all of a sudden zombies come by.
Your survival instincts will be put to the ultimate test.
I would play Z-Tag again.
Do you have what it takes? Hashtag play Z-Tag.
Wednesday 13. Look what the bats dragged in on the Big Scary Show.
Can't wait, I see.
Enter, if you dare, Haunters, into the lair of Meat Hook Jim. As he brings you scare acting tips and tricks. Greetings, Haunters. Meat Hook Jim here, and I'm back with another Scare Actors Tips and Tricks. You know, over my years of haunting, I've noticed one thing that seems to be a constant, and is people think they need more makeup, more makeup, more makeup. Well, let's look at this rationally. Depending on where you're acting, people aren't going to see you very much. And it's just your presence more than anything that's going to frighten people. Now, I'm not downplaying makeup or masks, don't get me wrong. But some people think they need to overdo it when the visibility is limited. Now, cue line actors, specific scene actors, icon characters, yes. You guys, your costuming is phenomenal. The makeup is spot on. You guys look completely realistic. But when people are coming through a dark haunt, as much as we all want to look just amazing, it's a wasted effort. You can go in, depending on the lighting, you can go in with minimal makeup and have just as big as impact as if you had a job done by somebody from Face Off. So don't always think you've got to be a diva and have to have all the makeup in the world, because if you're working at a bigger attraction, they may have just a few makeup artists, and they've got a lot of people to get ready in a short period of time. On the flip side, if you're a queue line actor or an icon character, be patient. Let them work on you, because you are the face of the haunt. Makeup and masks. Maybe not always necessary. You be the judge. I'm just offering you some tips and tricks. And remember, Haunters, if you have your own scare acting tips and tricks you'd like to get out to the masses, email me, usa@bigscaryshow.com.
Want to take your haunt to a new dimension of terror? Then let Dark Imaginings conjure up some ghoulish graphics and web design services for your home, haunt, or crypt. Since 2007, professional and home haunters alike have trusted our award-winning and dedicated skeleton crew to make their nightmares come true. Whether you need graphic design services, logos, websites, spooky visuals, or creepy changing portraits, we can help your business look its scary best. To see more of our products and services, drop by darkimaginings.com. Let us help you get ahead of your competition.
And ladies and gentlemen, of course, that music that you're hearing right now signifies it is once again time for the Roundtable of Terror, brought to you by our very good friends at Necrotic Creations. And as always, we want to remind you the opinions expressed on the Roundtable of Terror may not be those of the hosts, guests, or anyone else at large, but we don't care. We hope you don't either. If you listened to our 5th anniversary kickoff show last time, you may have heard during the roundtable that a couple of the hosts are currently working or have just recently worked on a movie. And looks like there was enough interest in that we thought we better delve a little bit deeper into it
And we wanted to find out a little bit about what it is like to work on a movie set. Meat Hook Jim and Haunt Rocker Jerry Vane have just been filming a little bit of stuff along with a bunch of mall members. And interestingly enough, we said, hey, let's put on the director, the producer, and some other folks involved here, and let's talk about what it's like to film a cool horror movie, which just happens to be filming at a haunted house. So called up a couple of people and have them on the line. I believe we've got Renee Ebert, the producer. Are you there, Renee?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay, we've got Allie May, who I believe is a director of the film, correct?
Yes. Hello.
And David Everly, kind of a co-director, editor, does a whole bunch of stuff with the movie. By the way, the title of the movie is called Ghost House, A Haunting, and is being filmed at the Wells Township Haunted House in Brilliant, Ohio. We also have our regular hosts, including Storm.
Greetings from the technological age of stand-up lawnmowers and podcast interviews live on location at movie sets.
Excellent. One of the stars of the film, Meat Hook Jim.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I'll take it.
Are you getting a solo card on this?
Yes.
Excellent. Dead, but not forgotten, the Haunstrumentalist Jerry Vane.
Coming from the bowels of the severely technologically unadvanced Haunt Rocker Studios.
Excellent. My name is Drew Badger down in Charlotte. I have no technology because I live in the South, and I can say that. But we want to talk about this genesis of this movie, Ghost House, A Haunting. Why would you, A, create a horror movie at a haunted house, or why wouldn't you? And B, how did you get Maul and Jim and Jerry all involved? And that got to anybody who wants to answer that.
Yeah, I'm just going to give it to Renee.
Yeah, I went to different haunted houses. I chose Wells Township Haunted House because of the fact that it was a .org charity run by police officer Sean Norman. I thought that was an excellent outlet for the community. And I got Jerry Vane recommended to me by Sean Norman himself due to the fact that he helped with the commercials and he did such a phenomenal job, and we offered him the composer credit.
Nice.
And then Jerry Vane brought in Maul and introduced me to Jim, and that is an amazing, talented cast of actors right there. It was a great pleasure working with them.
And I'm super excited to be working with them.
Yay! Yes. For those of you that don't know, Allie joined Maul, so yay.
Yes. Yay. Blanche and Blair.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
There you go. So, as we heard on the last show, Jerry, I believe you and your girlfriend Dawn filmed your death scenes already, but Jim, are you and the rest of Maul still filming out there, or are your scenes over with?
Our scenes are done for the most part. I know Renee had mentioned something about maybe coming out again before the end of the shoot, but the scenes that they brought us out there for were done. It was a lot of fun, and, you know, being on a movie set isn't what everybody thinks it's cracked up to be. It's a lot of retakes and things like that. But, you know, we enjoyed ourselves. Everybody had a great time. We met some great people, so it was a lot of fun.
My trailer sucked.
Hey, now, rude. I worked hard on that.
The Evian water is supposed to be room temperature.
I said green M&Ms only. They brought me red. I was pissed. I walked out.
Yeah, I need to see the tour rider for you anyway. But so what? Without giving away too much of the plot or any of it, if you don't wish, what's kind of the story behind filming at Wells Township, and why you brought in so many, you know, commercial grade actors, and I assume several of the people who work at Wells are also involved.
Oh yeah, there's numerous amounts of Wells actors involved, people who do rooms and sets. Wells is a beast of something else. So So we have a lot of Wells people involved in this that are going to be acting. But basically, we like the way the house runs, where each room is different. So it gives us different sets all throughout the movie. And, shoot.
And we basically, what it boils down to is, like, what better place to film a horror film than a place that has so much experience with scaring people, whether it's in front of your face or, you know, being filmed in front of a camera. You have so much experience here to utilize, and they are one of the best talented people at what they do. I'm probably wording that wrong, but they are amazing. They're amazing at what they do, and that asset is something that they didn't want to not ascertain.
The props and the makeup art at Wells Township Haunted House very much impressed me, and I chose this set location due to the amazing props and the makeup artists that work here. They have very, very talented people.
Excellent. I do have a question. And this was what was rolling through my head when we were there filming our stuff. Has there been any issues as far as trying to film the movie, considering that the majority of the haunts in disrepair right now with having new scenes being built?
Oh, well, it kind of helps because then it gives us some empty rooms, which there's a flashback sequence of before it's a haunted house. So that actually helped us out a lot with that sequence, making it look like an abandoned building and not a haunted house.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
Yes.
And so did you get to do any kind of demolition since some of the rooms are going to be torn out and torn up or, you know, able to blow something up, which would be really cool or otherwise?
Blowing stuff up would be awesome, but this whole place is flammable. Definitely don't want to put any fire in here at all.
Yeah, probably not.
I actually have a room that I'm going to be building this year, so yes, I did do a little demolition, but then my room got moved, and the room it got moved to, thankfully, is a room that we had to utilize from last year, so if you went through Wells, it was a gypsy room. So we have a fortune teller scene in the movie that's going to be utilizing the gypsy room. So, and then I have full control over that room, so it stays the gypsy room until we're done filming.
So, Jim, how hard was it to get people from Mall to come down and work with you?
It was easy, really. I mean, we brought a crew of what we had, I think 8 of us. And everybody was just gung-ho and ready to go, and they didn't even, I mean, the IMDb credit's a nice touch, but they would have done it without it.
So how do you get IMDb credit from working on a movie? That's cool. Well, I guess I should ask Storm. Storm, I think you were the first one to get that, weren't you?
That's right.
Well, no, I didn't get IMDb credit. I just told you guys to search IMDb for Jason Storm.
Oh, you son of a...
No, IMDb credit they didn't hand out when I was an extra in a movie, so... But glad I fish-hooked and got you all on that. Thank you.
In case you're wondering, Jason is seen in Underdog.
If you blink, you miss it.
Awesome. Nice.
Really cool.
Very cool.
Oh, and another thing to look for, too, is, like, a lot of people in the business are looking for people with LinkedIn profiles. So if you can link your IMDb credit to that, you're most likely to get any gigs thrown your way.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Dude,
well, I was going to say, that's something useful LinkedIn does.
Yes.
Yeah, that and in the Northeast, very big on casting calls. That's how they pull in a lot of people. And you got to go through the agency. It's doing the casting call, and a lot of places work with that. There's some independent films up here, but that's what you see most of it go through in the Northeast.
How long was the movie, okay, from conception to script planning to everything to actually filming, how long did it take to get all this preparation going before you guys finally started rolling cameras?
Well, Renee had a shorter version of the film already written. And then me, Casey Nestor, and Jordan Morris all got together. I grabbed those two, and we got together and I don't want to say rewrote the script, but we went off of Renee's version of the script and made it a full-length feature film. And that took us about 2 months to write. It's a 90-minute film. It took us 2 months. I think, how many words? 20,000 words. we had a month of planning after we were finished writing. We did some stuff to get some sponsors involved in the movie to help us with the budget and the costume making and
storyboarding
and getting the concept together and getting out shot lists. And then we started at the beginning of April 8th.
Yeah, because I remember Renee contacted me back in the beginning of November, I think it was, in regards to wanting to discuss about using the music. And I was in the process of literally loading a U-Haul to drag my sorry butt from Vegas to Ohio. So, you know, the way from what it sounds like, yeah, 4 months to get things going, that for some reason it didn't seem like it was that long.
No,
it literally felt like, okay, I just got contact. Okay, now we're starting.
Yep, that's how filmmaking goes. It's crazy. Time flies. I can't even believe that April's almost over. We're almost into May.
Yeah.
We've got a lot shot, but we still have a lot to shoot.
Sounds like it's going to be a whole lot of fun while you're going on this ride. I do want to mention to you guys and everybody listening that you are listening to the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show. We're talking about Ghost House, A Haunting, a movie not quite starring Meat Hook Jim and Jerry Vane, but yet they do make a substantial appearance, as well as members of Maul. We're going to take a real short break here, pay some bills. Please listen to the following commercial, and we'll be right back.
You know how it is. You're alone. There's the internet. You start clicking. You're looking for something necrotic. Some things, you see, your grandmother wouldn't call necrotic. Click on some other sites. Whoa, that is just way, way too necrotic. But then you find Necrotic Creations. Necrotic. You may not know what necrotic means, but you know it when you see it. Get Necrotic. Necrotic Creations. Shop anytime at necroticcreations.com.
And we're back on the Roundtable of Terror talking about the movie Ghost House, A Haunting, starring, among other people, our very own haunt rocker Jerry Vane and Meat Hook Jim, along with members of Maul. We've got Renee, Allie, and David, who are responsible for putting on most of the movie, directing, producing, editing, filming, lots of cool stuff. And, guys, you know, this is, it sounds like it's going to be a big project. It's not just one of those, you know, student-run indie films or anything. This is going to be a full-length, 90-minute thing that you're hoping to take where? On the, like, film festival circuit and things like that?
Well, first we're going to take it on tour, which by that I mean basically what a band does. They take their band on tour. They go to major cities, run out a venue, and show... they do their show. So we're going to do that, and we're going to show our movie.
Oh, nice.
So we're starting with that, and then we're going to hit up some film festivals. And then our end goal is to get it on Netflix, Vimeo possibly, and Amazon Video Direct.
Oh, very nice. So that should be fun.
Yeah, and there also will be hard copies that will be available for sale, Blu-ray, DVDs, the whole nine yards. There also will be a shorter version of the film that will be played outside of the Wells Township Haunted House. We've done it before, me and David. We made a short film called Snatched, and we played it outside in a tent at the Haunted House because, as you know, the yard at Wells isn't like your average queue line. You have an entire yard to go do and mess around with things as you please. We have our pay to scare, and this year we're bringing back the tent, and we're going to play a short version of the movie there.
Oh, fun. I remember going up there years ago, and it was just, it is an unusual haunted house. I mean, the queue line actors you got out there are fantastic. The opening ceremony is literally explosive. And I just and I really enjoyed that, and I'm hoping to see several familiar scenes in the haunt in the film. So looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. So, Jim, yeah, how about you? Go ahead. Oh. So, I'm sorry.
It's okay. No, yeah, we'll definitely have a lot of different scenes from the haunted house sets in scenes of the movie.
Very cool, Jim. You said you brought about 8 of your guys from Mall. Who is there? Some of the people who know who some of the Mall members are. Who's going to be making cameos in this appearance in this film that we can all look for and say, hey, I know that guy.
Well, you've got, excuse me, myself and Chris. We play Papa Jimbo, and I can never remember her character's name. Mambo Wachowie. You've got Kirby playing Lord Wolfbane. You've got Dan playing Question Mark. You've got Damien Reaper. That needs no more introduction. Brett Ryans is Bloodzo. Mike Reynolds is Johnny Four Eyes. And Matt Matykit is Mad Matt. I just saw the rough edit trailer with everybody in that. It was really cool.
So they're actually playing their Mall characters. They're not playing different characters in the movie.
Correct.
Oh, that's fascinating. So when you put this, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was definitely cool to see everybody up there in character and being their characters. I think they did a great job bringing the characters to life, so to speak, cinematically.
When you were putting a script together like this, was that the intention on having characters like that? I mean, you've said that you've mentioned having some Wells actors in the film.
Oh yeah, definitely. When we shot that scene outside, we wanted to make the yard look more overwhelming than what it normally would, due to just the storyline itself. So having more yard actors, so to speak, queue line actors, whatever you want to call them, really helped out the shot.
Plus, they had a few action runs inside the maze and stuff that we want to integrate it with a couple chase scenes, which would be really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my main selling point for it was actually trying to give everyone an IMDb credit as their character so that they could actually be themselves as their haunt character, so that when these characters appear later in haunted houses, people will see the person from the movie, and I thought it would give it a little bit more of a scare factor.
Oh, that's cool. Search IMDb for Bloodzo and see what happens. That's cool.
Got it.
But, let's talk about another aspect of the shoot and the different cameras that they used during the time we were there. Your standard cameras, but there was one special camera that was around there, too, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that right, David?
Yes, there was. We had a DSLR, and then we also shot footage on an iPhone, and we also used GoPros and a mix of other cameras that we used.
And one with propellers.
Yeah, the drone. We definitely wanted some overhead, kind of a jib action going with the establishing shot to give the overall feel of the whole house. So we wanted to go with a drone shot because they had this nice little feature on the geography where we wanted to reveal the haunted house at a certain moment of the time. So we used the drone to do that establishing shot.
Well, that's fascinating. I'm assuming drones are being used more and more in films and stuff, so...
Where I work from, we use them constantly because it's a great way, because jibs themselves are hard to, like, carry around, assemble, and stuff like that. As in, like, a drone, you just prop it up and just set it up in the air, and you're good. So you're starting to see a lot more commercials, advertisers, and movies start to use more drones than anything else.
Sure.
I know when I was working with David in the maze, some of the scenes that they wanted to do, you were literally up in the rafters of the maze. doing filming stuff, running in front of us, running behind us. I think when you were following behind Don and I, and one of the barrels fell over.
Yeah.
You almost ended up ass over tea kettle.
Yeah. Don, I was chasing you and Don threw the barrel in front of me. And I was like, listen, you're not supposed to stop me, even though that would be a great move if someone was chasing you. So I had to jump over this barrel with this gear on. And I was like, wow, I'm getting a heck of a workout. This is amazing.
We wanted to put you through the paces since we were new. We didn't want to make it too easy for you.
Yeah, that makes my guess.
Yeah, how we get repaid? Hey, we're killing you later.
But no, I tried a lot. Like, my boss always tells me that I try to put myself in awkward situations. And I'm just like, I just want the shot. Like, there's so many times where, like, we were just shooting a golf commercial for a company out for, like, I think it was called Ogilvy. And the golfer was literally shooting a ball close to my face. And I did not think of anything about my own safety. I just did it because I was like, oh, this will look so cool. But luckily, he didn't hit me.
So that actually brings up a pretty good question. We've talked about how it's a neat, unique place to shoot a movie in a haunted attraction. Have you guys come across some big challenges with shooting? Because, you know, haunted attractions, they're designed by a very first-person perspective, and they have some limitations in lighting and stuff. Has that led to some challenges while filming?
Well, the lighting situation for us is almost terrible. Tight spaces and hallways, where our claustrophobia tunnel is, we shot a scene in there yesterday. And there's like 10 of us in this hallway, one person running the clapper, one person doing the camera, another person directing, and then you have your actual actor. I mean, it's a little hard. It's a little hard. Getting lighting without reflections and shadows, it's been tough. But we're managing. Footage is looking good.
And has the freight elevator collapsed yet?
No, it hasn't, actually. We filmed my
scene
on there.
One of the scenes.
Because I actually have a scene on the elevator as well, and it did not collapse when I was on there. Thankfully, thank God. Once you see the scene, you'll understand why it's a very good thing that it did not collapse.
Well, I know that when we filmed our scenes, but you know, Don, me, David, Boom Mike Guy, Scarecrow, the three henchmen. There was like 10 people on that freight elevator.
Takes a lot. It takes a lot of weight. We usually move our lumber up and down using that elevator, so it'll outlast.
Yeah, there's some great tactics you can use for using shooting on short spaces, like lens work and where to put. Like you see me on set during that particular shoot where I was cheating people. Like, hey, I know you weren't here last time, but I'm moving you forward anyways just so I can cheat the camera.
Yeah.
So you kind of work with what you have and cheat where you need to.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Now, have there been any scenes in the movie that you filmed so far that once you got into the space, you had to either, you know, okay, we can't do this, or, oh my God, we can do this and actually make it even better than what we originally came up with?
Actually, there is a scene, there's a room in the haunted house that's being reborn again. We've done it before, but we're redoing it. And there's a bathroom scene. And unfortunately, the lights kept bouncing off of my glasses. I wear glasses in the movie. And the lights kept reflecting off my glasses. And we were like, you know what? Just put your glasses on your head, and we'll just take a quick shot in the room that you were in before of you putting your glasses on your head. And I'm like, that's fine.
Well, one thing that I remember when I was at Wells was I was talking to Sean, and Sean has said that there is some, shall we say, paranormal activity that has gone on over the years, and most cast members have experienced something there. Have you guys run into any, shall we say, unusual things happening while filming?
Filming, I wouldn't say that we've ran into anything, but as a veteran myself, definitely run into a few things. We shot in our basement yesterday. I hate the basement. Hate the basement. Once heard a voice in the basement. That was not fun. but I went down there and I did what I needed to do because I had to do it.
And for those people that don't know about Wells Township in Brilliant, Ohio, how old is the building again?
Oh, gee, the building's well over 100 years old. It dates way, way, way back. Part of the building was here beforehand, and then the other part was built onto it. So I remember a few years back, we were tearing down, I think, plaster.
I think it's part of Civil War times.
Like part of Civil War times. It used to be a horse stable, and then they took out the horses and put Civil War bodies in the stables, and then after that it was a saloon, and then a furniture store, and then a heating and cooling place, and now a haunted house.
Ooh, yeah, storing dead bodies.
I remember Sean mentioning. Yeah, Sean was mentioning it to us on a when he took us on a tour of the haunt, that the right across from the haunt is the river, and they would have barges come up the river, stop in front of that area in front of the haunt. They would transfer the bodies of the dead from the Civil War into that building and as a holding area until another barge came to take them back up the river.
Yes.
So yeah, there's a lot of energy in that place. There was a couple times that when we were in the makeup room that both Don and I felt, you know, kind of a little off. You know, there's like, you know, you get cold blasts. I mean, it was pretty warm in there, and we were getting cold blasts just standing in one place. So, yeah, it's it's an interesting building.
Yeah, we've had paranormal teams come in and do investigations, and they've got a lot of proof, so to say. While being here. And I mean, this is my 9th year here at Wells. And I've encountered a lot of stuff, but I've also done a lot of dumb stuff, so to speak, playing with Ouija boards and stuff like that.
She gets excited about it. And this one time she's just like, "Oh, David." And she trapped me into a room because I was like, "Oh my gosh, what did you put me into?" Because I was like kind of skeptic of the whole paranoia thing for a little while. And she traps me in a room to make me believe. I didn't hear anything, but it freaked me out.
It's actually really funny that you even brought up anything paranormal. I'm going to try to not give anything away, but that has a lot to do with my character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to film here because the movie was about a ghost, and this place was actually verified as haunted. And it's actually, the original script was based on a near-death experience, so I thought that this would be the perfect place to film it. I love filming in historical places as well.
Wow. So I'm looking at the clock, and it looks like... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, in talking to them about the movie, the people are going to get a lot of good... You know, after reading the script and everything, people are going to like this movie. I mean, you know, it's not your typical slasher film. You know, and I don't even want to use that term as a slasher film. It's a horror film. It's got a lot of psychological aspects to it as well. And there is, you know, the paranormal aspect. And, you know, just the reaction from the trailer that went up today, earlier today, people are digging it. So, you know, definitely awesome. When it comes out, definitely definitely check it out because it's going to be fun. I mean, it's got great actors, great scenes. Music sucks, but hey, what are you going to do? which brings up that there's going to be some different music sources in it. I'm honored to be asked to supply the music for it. But also one of the cast members, James or Jason? I'm drawing a blank on the name.
Right here.
James Keller.
Actually, him right next to me.
Yeah, he's right.
Hey,
here.
Buddy.
What's up, Jerry? How you doing, man?
Good. How you doing, brother?
Rocking on, man.
Yeah, he's going to actually contribute some music to the movie as well. I'm looking forward to that. And I am going to be creating a custom track for the movie specifically for the title of the movie, which I've already started on. So I'm looking forward to that. It's coming out pretty creepy. I got to admit, I just started a couple days ago, and I'm like, okay, I got to put this aside for a minute. When I'm creeping my own self out, this is not good.
Well, we need to get you a quick edit of the beginning so you can really visualize how to customize that. That would be sweet.
Maybe you can include this as a bonus track on your latest CD.
No, this will be specifically for the movie only. So that's what it's. Yeah, it's not going to be included on my album. This will be specific.
That's awesome.
Specific for track for the movie. It's going to be. It was fun. I mean, when they asked me to do the music and they say, hey, you know, I asked, you know, could I be in a crowd scene or something like that? And they're like, yeah, sure. And somehow along the line, how about we kill your ass while we're at it? Okay, well, hell.
And you fulfilled a whole bunch
too, just for good measure.
You fulfilled a whole bunch of fantasies from the other Gahos with that line right there.
Well, I you know what? I dug deep into myself and I portrayed you. So anyway,
ba-dum-bumps.
Hey Jerry, if you want to get a pre-mastered version of the song I'm putting on, just send me through Facebook your email address and I'll send it to you.
Will do.
Excellent. Well, looking at the clock, looks like we're going to need to start winding this down. I know there's probably at least another question or two from the ghosts, so this would be a good time to fire away because I know they've got to keep shooting, and they just took a nice break to come talk to us. Any other questions, ghosts?
Yeah. Speaking of winding down and, you know, time, what does everybody expect for the time for post-production and after you wrap with principal photography? How long are you expecting it to be before you have something hitting the circuits and getting a completed film out?
Basically what we have when in doing a huge film with post is we do a rough edit, and then after we do the rough edit, we start deciding what has visual effects on it, what needs color graded and all this stuff. And then we'll do our final edit with the visual effects in it. And then after that, we'll do what is known as pickups, basically shots that would add to the film that maybe have, you know, we couldn't manage it during shot or even being forgotten. So the time scale with this can be, depending on how big the visual effects are and all that, how many pickups we need to do, it can last between 2 to 3 months. So, because it's such a massive project.
So my goal is definitely to get it out before Wells opens up, and I, like I mentioned, I also have to create a shorter version of the movie to play outside of the haunted house, but DVDs will be made available for sale, hopefully, at that time. So Wells opens up September 22nd, film should be done September 22nd.
Wow, excellent, guys.
Started editing it, so.
Nice. One last question from me. When the credits are rolling, will they be rolling with the characters' real names or with their character names? I mean, will it just say, like, Damien Reaper, Bloodzo the Clown, Papa Jimbo, or will it say their actual names?
Whichever they prefer, actually. That's a really good question. What do you guys prefer? Do you want your character names or do you want your actual names with your character names?
I prefer my name with my character name.
Okay, all right, that's perfect. So we'll be doing it that way.
Oh, very good. Glad we were able to...
Mine's pretty easy.
Jerry Vane, dead guy, number two.
Dead guy, number one.
I'm sorry. I gotta get your
What's
name.
What's that?
You know my name. I still gotta get BMC's name.
I did provide the weapon that did dawn in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did. They brought that out and showed it to us. I'm like, that ain't a Screamline studio prop. That thing's real.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, it was real.
The weapons that they used on Don and I were real.
Oh, nice.
So, we filmed it in a safe way.
Mm-hmm. I know when Ernie started, you know, when you were filming my death scene, he's like tapping me. I'm like, what are you doing? Are you hacking up a person or cutting up butter? What are you doing here? Oh, I don't want to hurt you. You know, you are doing the music. I'm like, smack me, damn it. Treat me like the pig that I am, Jesus.
He likes
Jesus.
I think we're treading into some TMI information here.
That's the other version of the film you don't know about.
That'll be on the director's cut.
Yeah, you know it.
The unrated director's cut. So I'm assuming you're pursuing an R rating. Are you doing an NC-17? Are you looking for an R rating on this, or what?
I'm guessing they're going to go for the R rating. We haven't really got into the ratings situation yet because we need to see the finished product of like exactly how much they've said the F word.
I think I dropped it about 12 times.
That's funny. Like earlier when Renee said I walked away, that was actually so I could tell James to like slow it down on the F words. I'm like, dude, I gotta make this a shorter version that's gonna play in front of kids. Like, come on. Can I get a cut without, you know, the F word after every other word?
We might have to bring you back in, Jerry Vane, and give you some voiceover work of saying fudge a couple times. Fudge! Fudge you!
Oh, Fargo! Oh, wait. Now we got a copy. Now, oh, great. Now we're going into copyright issues. Can't say Fargo. Damn.
Oh, darn.
What the fickle flack?
What the frickle frack?
I'm only 2 hours away. You let me know.
Oh, I got you.
Well, if that happens, I'm sure we'll mention that up on the deadline news here on the show. But again, looking at the clock, and I know your schedules are tight, and you still have shooting to do tonight. So, yeah. if there are no more final comments, then I'd like to thank our guests for taking the time out to speak to us while filming Ghost House: A Haunting. Renee Ebert, Allie May, and David Everly. Thank you so much for taking the time out to speak with us. And, of course, our hosts, including Storm.
Antonio Banderas will do the voiceover work for Jay.
Perfect.
Meat Hook Jim.
Well, we got to give a shout out to Casey Nestor, too. I mean, you know, you can't forget him.
Thank you. Yes.
Casey hooked us up with the trailer earlier today.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yeah, and then I sent Jerry another trailer that you guys should be getting as well.
Cool. Speaking of, we'd like to thank Jerry Vane for being a member and participating in this.
I'm going to do all my overdubs on this first. What the fuck?
My name is Drew Badger, and you are listening to the Roundtable of Terror here on The Big Scary Show.
Are you afraid this haunt season? Afraid of long lines of dissatisfied customers just at your ticket booth? Afraid of all the processing fees and hassle with credit cards? Are you afraid to make that jump into online ticketing? Well, take the leap. TicketLeap. TicketLeap will give you online options for your customer. Beautiful event pages. to give every single ticketing option you have now and loads of possibility. Smart tools to spread the word, engage with your customers, and connect to social media. With great, simple payment processing and the friendly customer support to go with it. Do things you haven't dreamed of. Hey, what's a selfie ticket? Check out TicketLeap.com. They're going to show you what to do. And no haunt's too big or too small for them to process. You're going to have a beautiful event page, even if you have a home haunt. Hey, they have options for free events that you may have. And what better way to collect donations for a community? Tickets under $5. The fee's only 25 cents. Find out what TicketLeap has to offer to you. TicketLeap.com.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is A Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
All right, so for years we've been asking ourselves, what's going to be the next big thing? What's the next big horror and haunt thing out there? You know, vampires are big, werewolves, zombies, what's next? You know, I thought it'd be chupacabras, and we've been looking for an answer for so long. Well, this week we got our answer. We were shown what is the next big thing that will hit huge trends with people out there, and it is the mighty unicorn. Yeah, that's right. Unicorns. That's the big thing now. That's the buzzword. That's the cash cow. Are you freaking kidding me? But no, it's true. Hey, you want those hard-to-get super soft leggings that are out there? And you want a special design? It's a unicorn. Hey, you want something glittery and happy and pink and rainbows and stuff? It's a unicorn. You need a spokesman for Squatty Potty? You know, to try and sell something that's insane and people wouldn't even think to even want to get? Sell it with a unicorn. And, of course, the big thing with the Starbucks and the coffees that, you know, come in weird sizes because, hey, where have you ever gone and gotten a grande taco and gotten a medium taco? Yes, Starbucks had their unicorn fraps and people went nuts. They had a week supply of unicorn fraps, and they sold out in a day. Can't get them? Insane. Unicorns, how did this even happen? How did we let this happen? Yes, a stupid horse with a tooth growing out of the center of its head is now the big thing, the next big creature. Oh, Storm, it's not a tooth, it's a horn. Yeah, go dig up a unicorn fossil and show me that it's made out of horn and not creatine or ivory or enamel or anything like that. You can't, because it's a stupid unicorn. So what's going to happen now? We got to have unicorns in our haunts? You know, everybody going to be running around with those unicorn horse zombie masks? Hey, they're fun in the actor's studio after it, but it's not going to work in your haunt. So we're stuck with happy pinky rainbow shitting unicorns for our haunts. I don't know how that happened, but, you know, get on your duffs, get out there and find something to replace this. We cannot let unicorns be the next big thing, especially in the haunt and horror and attractions industry. So until next time, keep every minute scary and not unicorny.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Store.
Hi, this is Josh Gates from Travel Channel's Expedition Unknown, reminding you to send all hate mail to storm@bigscaryshow.com.
Wednesday 13, till death do us party on the Big Scary Show.
dress up your show? Need to pump new life into old props? Just want to show something no one else has? Do what Alice Cooper, Distortions Unlimited, and A-list haunters all over the world do. Wear Bunkerum. Durable, handcrafted, dependable year after year. Bunkerum. When you scare enough to wear the very best. Bunkerum.com. VONCHARON.com.
Frighteners, and welcome once more to the Weister's Haunted Vista. And here we are in late April. The sun is shining, the trees are pollinating, and my allergies are killing me. But of course, most importantly, it's time for all the home haunters to break out the dry locks, styrofoam, heat guns, and Dremels, and hope and pray the wife does not run us out of town for spilling something or burning holes into her new carpet. Sometimes maybe even both.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
Not a pleasant thought. This time around, we're going to continue the vampiric theme from last episode and look into one of the first, if not one of the best, of the silent era films, one that had a tremendous influence in terms of style, look, and content for decades now, and even its 1979 remake has plenty to commend it. I'm, of course, referring to F. W. Murnau's 1922 masterpiece of impressionism, Nosferatu, A Symphony of Horror, or simply Nosferatu. The film is essentially an unauthorized adaption of Bram Stoker's Dracula. Various names and other details were changed from the novel. For instance, Vampire became Nosferatu, and Count Dracula became Count Orlok, etc., etc. Stoker's heirs sued over the adaption, and a court ruling ordered that all copies of the film be destroyed. However, a few prints did survive, and the film came to be regarded as an influential masterpiece of cinema. Goth culture owes this film a tremendous debt, if not its very existence, to the shadow-laden impressionistic movie. The film was released in the United States in June of 1929, 7 years after its original premiere in Germany, and it instantly became a hit here as well. The studio behind the film, Prana Film, was a short-lived silent-era German film studio founded in 1921 by Enrico Dieckmann and Albin Grau, named for the Buddhist concept of prana. Although the studio's intent was to produce supernatural-themed films, Nosferatu was its only production, as it declared bankruptcy in order to dodge copyright infringement suits from Bram Stoker's widow, Florence. Grau had the idea to shoot a vampire film, the inspiration of which had arisen from a war experience. In the winter of 1916, a Siberian farmer told him that his father was a vampire and one of the undead.
Oh, good grief.
As an interesting aside here, for cost reasons, Fritz Arno Wagner, the cameraman, only had one camera available, and therefore was only able to produce one original negative. The director followed the screenplay carefully, following handwritten instructions on positioning, lighting, and related matters. Nevertheless, Murnau completely rewrote 12 pages of the script, as text was missing from the director's working script. This concerned the last scene of the film, in which the heroine Ellen sacrifices herself and the vampire dies in the first rays of the sun. Murnau prepared carefully. There were sketches that were to correspond exactly to each film scene, and he used a metronome to control the pace of the acting. The original score was composed by Hans Erdmann,
to be performed by an orchestra during the projection. It is also said that the original music was recorded during a screening of the film. That, however, has not been proven. Most of the score had been lost, and what remains is only a reconstitution of the score as it was played in 1922. Thus, throughout the history of the Nosferatu screenings, many composers and musicians have written or improvised their own soundtrack to accompany the film. A good example would be James Bernard, composer of the soundtrack of many Hammer horror films in the late 50s and 60s, and he wrote a score for a reissue. The story of Nosferatu is similar to that of Dracula and retains the core characters, Jonathan and Mina Harker, the Count, etc., 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 but omits a lot of the secondary players such as Arthur and Quincy and changes all of the characters' names, although in some recent releases of this film, which is now in the public domain in the United States but not in most European countries, the written dialogue screens have been changed to use the Dracula version of the names. The setting has been transferred from Britain in the 1890s to Germany in 1838. In contrast to Dracula, Orlok does not create other vampires, but kills his victims, causing the townfolk to blame the plague, which ravages the city. Also, Orlok must sleep by day, as sunlight would kill him, while the original Dracula is only weakened by sunlight in the novel. The ending is also substantially different from the original novel. The cult is ultimately destroyed at sunrise when the Mina character sacrifices herself to him. Nosferatu brought Murnau into the public eye, especially since his other film, The Burning Soil, was released a few days later. The press reported extensively on Nosferatu at its premiere. With laudatory votes, there was occasional criticism that the technical perfection and clarity of the images did not fit the horror theme, but that's picking at straws. This was the only Prana film. The company declared bankruptcy after Stoker's estate, acting for his widow, Florence Stoker, sued for copyright infringement and won. The court ordered all existing prints of the film burned, but one print of the film had already been distributed around the world. This print was duplicated over the years, kept alive by a cult following, making it an example of an early cult film. Nosferatu has received overwhelmingly positive reviews over the years. Rotten Tomatoes has a certified fresh label on it and holds a 97% freshness rating based on 62 reviews. The website's critical consensus reads, "One of the silent era's most influential masterpieces, Nosferatu's eerie gothic feel and a chilling performance from Max Schreck as the vampire set the template for the horror films that followed." It was also ranked 21st in Empire Magazine's 100 Best Films of the World Cinema in 2010, and in 1997, the late critic Roger Ebert added Nosferatu to his list of great movies, writing, "Here is the story of Dracula before it was buried alive in clichés, jokes, TV skits, cartoons, and more than 30 other films." The film is in awe of its material. It seems to really believe in vampires. Is Murnau's Nosferatu scary in the modern sense? Not for me. I admire it more for its artistry and ideas, its atmosphere and images, than for its ability to manipulate my emotions like a skillful modern horror film. It knows none of the tricks of the trade, like sudden threats that pop in from the side of the screen, but Nosferatu remains effective. It doesn't scare us, but it haunts us. The film had a huge cultural impact. The 1931 Todd Browning Bela Lugosi Dracula would not be what it is without Nosferatu. Max Schreck's appearance over the decades to follow has influenced so many vampires. Not as much as Bela Lugosi's appearance, but still, he's out there. In addition to which, pop culture is littered with references. For example, the 1977 song Nosferatu from the album Spectres by Blue Oyster Cult is directly about the film. The 1991 tabletop role-playing game Vampire the Masquerade features a playable character known as Nosferatu, whose monstrous appearances are often depicted similar to Orlok in the official art. And good old Rob Zombie's 2016 horror film 31, Doomhead and Cherry Bomb, played by Richard Brake and Ginger Lynn, are engaging in rough sex while scenes from Nosferatu are playing on a small television screen. On July 29, 2015, it was reported that a remake of the film would be written and directed by The Witch director Robert Eggers and produced by J. Van Noy and Lars Knudsen. On November 12, 2016, Eggers reaffirmed that the film was his next project. Despite all of this, the truly greatest of all the remakes of Nosferatu came in 1979. Thank you.
Nosferatu the Vampire is a West German film written and directed by Werner Herzog. Its original title is Nosferatu, Phantom of the Night. The film is set primarily in 19th century Weimar, Germany, and Transylvania, and was conceived as a stylistic remake of the 1922 original film. It stars Klaus Kinski, one of the most notoriously difficult actors known to mankind, and also one of the most talented, God rest his soul, as Count Dracula. There are two different versions of the film, one in which the actors speak English and one in which they speak German. This Nosferatu was very well received by critics and enjoyed a comfortable degree of commercial success. This film also marks the second of five collaborations between director and actor Kinski. While the basic story is derived from the novel Dracula, director Herzog made the film primarily as an homage to the original silent movie, which differs quite a bit from Stoker's original work, as we have discussed. By the time of the production of this film, Florence Stoker had died and the copyright had expired. By the 1960s and early 1970s, the original silent returned and was enjoyed by a new generation of moviegoers. Herzog considered Murnau's Nosferatu to be the greatest film ever to come out of Germany and was eager to make his own version of the film. In 1979, by which time the copyright for Dracula had entered the public domain, Herzog proceeded with his updated version of the classic film, which now could include the original character names. At the request of distributor 20th Century Fox, Herzog produced two versions of the film simultaneously to appeal to English-speaking audiences. Scenes with dialogue were filmed twice, in German and in English, meaning that the actors' own voices, as opposed to dubbed dialogue by voice actors, could be included in the English version of the film. Herzog himself said that in 2014 the German version was much more authentic. The opening sequence was filmed by Herzog himself at the Mummies of Guadalajara Museum at Guadalajara, Mexico, where a large number of naturally mummified bodies of the victims of an 1833 cholera epidemic are on public display. Herzog had first seen the mummies while visiting the 1960s. Upon its return in the 70s, he took the corpses out of the glass cases in which they are normally stored. To film them, he propped them against the wall, arranging them in a sequence running roughly from childhood to old age. Kinski's Dracula makeup, with black costume, bald head, rat-like teeth, and long fingernails, is an imitation of Shrek's in the 1922 original. Sharp-eyed viewers will notice that a number of shots in the film are faithful recreations of the iconic shots from the Murnau's original, some almost perfectly identical to their counterparts. The film received very good reviews, one stating, "Stunning visuals from Werner Herzog and an intense portrayal of the famed bloodsucker from Kinski make this remake of Nosferatu a horror classic in its own right." In contemporary reviews, the film is noted for maintaining an element of horror with numerous deaths and a grim atmosphere, but it features a more expanded plot than many Dracula productions, with a greater emphasis on the vampire's tragic loneliness. Dracula is still a ghastly figure, but with a greater sense of pathos, weary, unloved, and doomed to immortality. One reviewer considered a faithful homage to Murnau's original, significantly updating the original material and avoiding the danger of being overly derivative. And coming back again to the late Roger Ebert in 2011, he added, "One striking quality of the film is its beauty. Herzog's pictorial eye is not often enough credited. His films always upstage it by their themes. We are focused on what happens, and there are a few beauty shots. Look here at his control of the color palette, his off-center compositions of the dramatic counterpoint of light and dark. Here is a film that does honor the seriousness of the vampire. No, I don't believe in them, but if they were real, here is how they must look." As a side note, 1979 was certainly a banner year for vampire films, let alone horror. In addition to things like Alien, Dawn of the Dead, Prophecy, and Nightwing, we had this version of Nosferatu, Love at First Bite with George Hamilton camping it up big time, Frank Langella's Dracula, and NBC ran a series called Cliffhangers, a kind of tribute to the old theater serials as well, and this featured Michael Nuri in the title role of The Curse of Dracula. I did mention it earlier, but also worth a look is 2000's Shadow of the Vampire, a sort of mock behind the scenes of the making of the original. It features John Malkovich as Murnau and William Dafoe as Max Schreck, and it has some interesting twists. Plus, it puts a different spin on things, if you know what I mean. To wrap this up, I highly recommend viewing both the 22 and 79 films, as well as Shadow, and do so in chronological order. It makes for some fascinating viewing. And as for my favorite,
I have to say I don't have one. They are both fantastic for different reasons, but if forced, the 1922 version is the forerunner of so much, and that's not an admission. Comments, critiques, ideas? Drop me a line at ericbssh@gmail.com or look me up on Facebook. I answer all correspondence, but you'll catch me faster on Facebook. That's just the way it is. Also, take a gander at my blog spot, the Weister's Halloween Haunt Journal. It's been pretty quiet for a while, but that is going to change very soon. Next time on the Vista, again, it's potluck, gang. It really depends on the theme of the show, but on the boards for the next couple of months are looks at the animated 1967 feature Mad Monster Party, a musical appreciation of Black Sabbath, the proliferating of monsters and superhero comics, and on a more personal note, an update of a piece I did a couple of years ago, taking a look at haunt acting from that of a lucky amateur, his observations after 3 years in the business. Until then, always remember, Svengoolian, brush your fangs, comb your face, drink your milk before it clots, bite Mama goodnight, and remember I hit Jerry Vane's body when he dared say there was more to life than just Black Sabbath.
Listen to me. You are never to return here. You are to stay away and never tell humans about this place, or I will track you down and suck every ounce of blood from your body until you look like a deflated whoopee cushion. Be gone.
Honestly, the nerve of that guy. Oh well, see everybody in 2 weeks.
CreepyCollection.com, the most disturbing, realistic, handmade props and animatronics for the horror industry. Now featuring FearFlex technology. Voted best zombie props of 2011 and 2012. CreepyCollection.com for all your gore and more.
Wednesday 13, What the Night Brings on the Big Scary Show.
Long shot.
you want online ticketing but get scared by service fees? HauntPay is scary simple ticketing and payments for your haunted attraction. With features made for haunts, including timed ticketing and repeat time slots, variable ticket types, bundled and combo tickets, social media discounts, and more, HauntPay is designed with haunted attractions in mind. Check them out at hauntpay.com and start now for free.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following sponsors: Screamline Studios, Gantom Lighting, Dark Imaginings, Von Caron Productions, HauntPay, Necrotic Creations, Ticket Leap, Haunter's Digest, and Creepy Collection. We would also like to thank Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse, as well as the Fordga hosts, including Storm, Rants and More, HauntMinute.com, The Unknown Scare Actor, Actor Trainer and Traveling Actor Troupe. For more information, check out MaulMonsters.com. That's MaulMonsters.com. Drew Badger, Actor Trainer and Consultant. Find out more at RabbitBadger.org. And Jerry Vane, the Hauntstrumentalist, for all your heavy metal and haunt needs. JerryVane.com. And finally, you, the listener. Without you, we are nothing.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show, LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.